This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the final hour of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. And it's been a great show. We had Mike Sainer still on off the top of the show. And if you're like, dang, I want to go hear that, don't do anything right now because we're going to play it for you coming up at 6:30. So Mikey Sainer still, he's not going to rejoin us, but we will let you hear our chat with him. It was a good one coming up at 6:30. Right now, though, it is just after 6 o'clock, which means we are just after the time that we should have been giving you storylines. So without further delay, let's hit it.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right. Mostly we've moved on from the Hail Mary earlier in the week, but I mean, come on. Do you really think that we're not going to let you hear from the coordinators, especially Cliff Kingsbury, on that?
Number one.
So Cliff was asked about the Hail Mary and just kind of what went into it, the details of it all, and his vantage point on what was obviously one of the craziest plays in the history of the league, certainly in the history of the franchise, and certainly anything that's happened recently around here.
A ton of reps throughout the course of a year. What's crazy, we have a guy on our staff, Dave Rye, who's been a part of five now. So three in Green Bay, one in Arizona, and one here. So he's kind of the expert, but when we got to Arizona my first year, he and Tom Clements, who's Green Bay quarterback coach, legendary, one of the best quarterback coaches of all time, Coach Favre, Rodgers, all those guys, they kind of instarted like this was just going to happen. Like it's a normal play. I'm like, this never happens. Like, what are y'all talking about? But they had been a part of three with Rodgers. So we kind of bought in and have been fortunate to be a part of two of them. And the guys, I mean, it's about players, not plays, like I've said. And the guys just executed flawlessly and incredible play with it.
I think that's genuinely hilarious that in Green Bay, Rodgers was so good at them that they're just like, yeah, this is how it works. That is one of the freaky things about Aaron Rodgers' just insane record with those. But now they've done it. They've done it here. How surprised was Cliff that it worked again?
Oh, there's no doubt. And the last one was COVID, so there were no fans, and it was just kind of us screaming. So this was a lot more exciting, and that was really, Kyler made an incredible play, and he saw Hop one-on-one and took his chance. There's just Hop going up and making a play, and this one took everybody, and so that was really special.
So Cliff's now been a part of two, three more, and he'll match David Rye, although David Rye, if they do it again here, would be a part of that one too, the tight ends coach. Kind of crazy he was a part of that many. As for Joe Witt's side of things, what did he hear specifically from the crowd after pandemonium hit in Landover?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't see much of it because I was pissed. We had just gave up the touchdown. So I got up and I was walking out of the box. And then I turned around and I was like, okay, all right. I was a little bit surprised about the play before the play. I was like, oh, they gave us a sideline. We're going to have a chance at this, at the Hail Mary. And so I turned and I looked at the TV and I said, oh, we have time. I said, we're going to really have a chance at this Hail Mary. And so now I'm getting excited as the play is going on. And the ball went up. And then I saw it happen. I'm watching the TV. I didn't actually see the screen. And I said, oh, wow, we caught it. And so I just stood there. And everybody's going crazy. And I was like, because I was still a little pissed. You know, we let them score. And then I just went ballistic with everybody else. And we just went running down the hall to the elevator. But so I really didn't get to see the fan reaction until I saw the pictures of it. But, you know, I'm glad we have J5. He does an excellent job, but we shouldn't put him in that situation as a defense. We should close the game, finish the game in those winning moments. And I blame myself because we were in a solid call, but there was a better call that I should have got to, and I didn't. And that's not acceptable.
That is, honestly, Anthony, probably my favorite reaction so far to the Hail Mary. What a perfect reaction from the defensive coordinator. I was so happy, but I was still a little pissed.
That's hilarious.
That's so good. It's the correct reaction from Joe Witt Jr. All right, moving on.
Number two.
One thing that I had noticed in the Chicago game was that the Bears would substitute pretty late. And, like, the officials have to let the other team substitute if the offense substitutes. But to slow down the tempo, the Bears would wait as long as possible. Was Cliff onto that, and what does he make of it?
No, we've seen it sporadically throughout, and it's just really on us to make sure that we're concise with our substitutions and we're nailing it. Otherwise, they're going to be allowed to, you know, hold the ball, and when we sub, they sub, and they tend to take their time doing that, which I understand. It's part of the game, and it's built in that way, but that just means we have to be really good when we do go fast or we sub that we're dialed in.
And as for the protocol?
Yeah, I mean, it's very subjective, crew to crew. And yeah, I'm not going to get into that too much, but they are allowed ample time, in my opinion.
That is the wheels turning in Cliff Kingsbury's head of, do I want to get fined today or not? I wish it was more consistent. That's my only thing. I do think it is something where if I was a defensive coordinator, would I be trying to manipulate it some? But it's not even like Washington is always trying to get the playoff now. It's just like sometimes these refs don't get out of the way and then they have to rush because there's three on the shot clock. And that's just ridiculous. Like, they've had ample time. The players are all on the field. Why are you still standing there? Get the hell out of the way. And so it limits pre-snap motion. Like, there's things that you might have to kill in a play because the defense, you know, not the defense, but the referees are just limiting it for a long time. So, yeah, it's I find the way that it has been administered inconsistent, as Cliff said, and annoying, which he didn't say because he didn't want to get fined.
Number three.
As for other things that are annoying for Cliff Kingsbury, this one he is more willing to talk about because it's something that they need to clean up. It was a problem last weekend, and it was a problem the first time that the Commanders played the Giants. Red zone execution. What you got, Cliff?
Yeah, it definitely needs to be better. I thought we moved the ball well at times against Chicago, but had a chance to really put it away a couple of times. I thought that could put a lot of pressure on them, make it more one-dimensional, and we just floundered around down there, whether it was bad play calls or not the type of execution that we expect. And it was similar to the New York game as well. Just have to call better plays and have to execute better, and our guys know that. We can't expect to win like that. Defense did a tremendous job continuing to get the ball back, continues to give us a chance to put that team away, and we just didn't.
There's a couple of plays where things are kind of dead and there's not a lot going on. I have a hard time putting a whole lot on Cliff when you have Ertz have a ball that just gets jarred out, when you have McCaffrey just missing getting a toe down and a great pressure by Montez Sweat on that first drive of the game, when you have another touchdown that's caught off the board by your all everything right guard being a yard and a half too far down the field on a flag that often is not thrown because it wasn't really part of the play. Like, those are good plays. They should have been touchdowns. And there's a couple of others that maybe, okay, yeah, these are covered up. That didn't give Jaden a whole lot of options. Maybe there could have been a better run, but, like, typically the run game, it's just a matter of execution. Maybe you ran into a bad look because you could have anticipated better based off their personnel or something, but at the end of the day, man, like, this stuff is happening fast. I think Cliff's done a pretty good job down there, and when they failed, it's been execution-based. And even that first game, lots of penalties down there, and all of a sudden you're in bad down and distance, and it's like, how many times are we going to gain the same 5 yards? So it is definitely something that needs to get better. And Cliff, if he can do a better job, should. But if we do the blame pie, I think that we are definitely putting this far more on the players than on the coaches. The back half of our pick six at six next, including both coordinators and what it's like to face a team for the second time in the season. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Commanders quarterback Mikey Sainer is still on the show earlier today. If you missed it, we're going to replay it for you coming up in 10 minutes here on the Hoffman Show. We're always live on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app. Well, we're not always live. When the show is on, it's always live. It's just, Anthony, we work between 4 and 7.
Yeah, I'm glad you fixed that and cleaned that up.
Just imagine 24-7 Hoffman Show.
That would be a lot.
Too much.
That will require us sleeping. Standing up while sleeping.
No.
I'd rather not.
Sleep's
do that.
Really important. People value your sleep. I think that is necessary. Anyway, apropos of none of that, it's time to continue on our pick six biggest Commanders storylines of the day.
Number four.
And the biggest Commander storyline of the week, if you will, is that obviously Jaden Daniels and company are gonna face the New York Giants for a second time this season. That is something that Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt were both asked about today. Cliff, first on Jaden playing a team for the second time for the first time.
Really well at that point. You have a lot of intel and you've seen each other on the field. And so to me, it's about not trying to do too much and just stay within yourself and execute at a high level, which he's done so far this year. But it's a disruptive group. Like I said, I think they've gotten better and better. And the games always haven't ended the way they wanted. They've been in every game and the defense played at a high level.
It has and it hasn't. Their pass rush is crazy good. Their pass rush is good. Their run defense is not very good. And Cliff is saying the right things, but realistically, I think that the Commanders' offense has gotten way, way better since week two, and I don't think the Giants' defense has gotten that much better since week two. Other side of the ball, you could argue the Giants' offense has regressed since week two. They do not look good right now. Talked about that with Brandon Tierney from WFAN earlier on in the show, but what does Joe Witt have to say about where the Giants offense is the second time around this season?
Once again, they're a team that has a really good scheme. I know, you know, they might be a little bit frustrated with the numbers or the output, but the scheme is really good. They have outstanding players that we're going to have to make sure that we account for. You know, Neighbors, he had a really good day on us last time. So I have to do a better job of making sure that we have a plan for him that doesn't allow him to just get loose like he did last time. But it really starts with the quarterback. The quarterback is a guy that has arm talent and can beat you with his feet, and they're not afraid to run him. Okay, and so that opens up a whole bunch of things that they can do, and we just have to make sure that we communicate at a high level, we understand what we anticipate them to do, and we go execute our plan.
And that's the thing. They do present quite a bit of a challenge. There is a lot there that Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator, and Brian Daboll, who obviously works very closely with him as the head coach, put at you defensively to deal with. the thing is, you can mess up on some plays, and the Giants are just not going to hit them because they're not very good. And Daniel Jones is going to miss throws, and he's going to miss reads, and their offensive line is going to miss blocks, and they're going to miscommunicate. They're going to miss target runs. They could have the perfect call on, and then I'm just picking someone randomly. This is not meant to be an attack on their right guard, but let's say it's their right guard goes and blocks the wrong guy, and all of a sudden Daron Payne is free, and what should be a gain of 30 is a minus 2. That kind of stuff happens against New York a lot, because they're only so good as a football team.
Number 5.
As for the Malik Nabers problem, obviously that is going to be a secondary wide focus. And towards the end of that first matchup, they really did make it secondary wide. They started doubling and bracketing Malik Nabers quite a bit. So how is the secondary playing right now for Joe Witt Jr.? How does he feel about their level?
Yeah, you know, the last 5 weeks, the whole defense, we've played well. Even the Baltimore game, you know, that's part of the last 5 weeks. But the secondary, Jason Simmons, Tommy Donatell, William Gay, they've just done an outstanding job of gluing those guys together, okay? We talked about the front rushing as a unit. Well, they're covering as a unit, you know. And, you know, there's times that we might be in man concepts, but we still have to pass routes, you know, if we want to lag it or whatever we want to do from that standpoint. But when we're in our zone concepts, over routes, we've done a really nice job of passing those. I don't think we've given up a lot of explosive passes. I know we're like 6th or 7th in the league and fewest explosive passes, and we would like to be, you know, top 5 in that area, because if they don't get chunks, it becomes hard to score. I think the last 5 games, I think we're giving up at 15.6 or 7 points a game. And if you're in that range, all right, now you're playing high level defense. And so the secondary, they're not giving up chunks, and they're really communicating and playing together, and we have to continue that. All right, we can't come up here next week and say, but this game, you know. So that's what we're working for.
Joe Witt on his secondary, and that makes a lot of sense. They have gotten so much better at communicating these things, and you see it, just less coverage busts, less guys running wide open. Sometimes you're going to give up some yards, but don't give up the big one. You see what happens with the Bears last week. They get the big one, they don't have to earn it, and it's just a different game. And they didn't give up any big explosive chunks for most of that game. They give up the swift 57-yarder and then that 30-yarder from Caleb Williams to DJ Moore down on the goal line. And it's the only 2 times they scored all game. So Washington has done a fairly good job at that. And then even if you do make a mistake, whether it's commit a penalty or whatever, in the middle of the field, you have time to bow up and make good on it. And they play with an aggressiveness that does, force some level of regular turnovers, fumbles, things like that. Obviously, they've gotten a couple picks. They speed teams up. So it's going to be interesting to watch that this weekend and how they treat Neighbor specifically, who has big play, explosive play written all over him. One way that you can avoid that, a pass rush. And Johnny Newton has certainly joined that party.
Number 6.
And Joe was asked a number of questions about Johnny Newton today. The most interesting one to me, though, is how Johnny is pairing with Daron Payne since John Allen got hurt.
I don't think it's really giving you anything different. I think and you got to put Phil in there, because Phil's played well. He's done his job. Big man playing big. But you know, I don't think it's anything different, because, you know, J.A. and Payne and Johnny, they're all excellent players. And so we just have to make sure that, you know, Phil and Sheldon and whoever's coming in there are just playing to the standard. You know, I'm pleased with how J.A. was playing. I'm pleased with how those men are playing.
It doesn't surprise me to hear Joe say that it's not that different. One, I don't think he wants to throw anyone under the bus. He's a very smart guy, and he's playing the politics game. But also, Johnny and John are similar enough players. They're a little bit undersized. They like to shoot gaps. They're really strong, but obviously the size sometimes is going to be a factor. But they're really quick. And so the types of things you ask them to do are, I think, on some level similar. And so the play off of Daron, it becomes very similar as well, versus a guy like Phil, who's like, big man play big. I actually love that phrase. I'm going to start using it all the time, and we'll probably within a week forget that I stole it from Joe Witt. I'll do my best to remember. But he plays differently than John Allen. Johnny Newton, hey, if you see it, man, like, go make a play. Shoot a gap. He's got a little more pass rush juice. So obviously, he's a rookie. He's super talented. There's going to be weeks where he looks awesome. There's going to be some weeks where it's like, let's maybe get Phil a couple of extra reps because we just rather have the solid, steady play than the up and down nature of a younger guy. But obviously, last week was fantastic. And the interior of the Giants' offensive line has struggled, so it could be another opportunity this week. That's our pick six at six here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, Commanders cornerback Mikey Sainristil, we talked to him right off the top today. So for those of you listening now that probably missed that, we don't want you to miss it. We're going to play that interview for you. Mikey, next on the team, 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.